Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for coming. On behalf of the Junior League, I'd like to welcome you all to our mayoral debate between Mayor Jerry Schweihart and Don Gerard. If anybody has any questions for the candidates after the debate, please feel free to hang around and ask. Once again, thank you for coming. We look forward to a spirited debate.
I'm Laura Bleil with ShamvannaMoms.com, and we're going to start off our debate this evening with a question for Mayor Schweihart. You've served as Mayor of Champaign for 12 years. Why should voters support you in your bid for re-election?
Well, we've had a successful 12 years. Like I said, we're dealing with the budget now, but for the past 12 years, we've came out with a balanced budget on time, all of them 12 years, without increasing the property tax. We've had successful growth in the Champaign community up until the last 2 years when the recession has hit and kind of slowed things down. But prior to that, we had record buildings and growth in the city. I think in the last 10 years, the city has grown 20% in growth. So that's a major jump for a city downstate. So I think basic on the success, I've got experience. Big thing is I have the time commitment to do it. The mayor for the city of Champaign is a complex job. Sometimes I start meetings at 7 o'clock in the morning. May not end, I've seen times this month that it didn't end until midnight. But there's all times in between that you have to commit. So I have the time and the energy to do it. I question how much time somebody can dedicate to the city of Champaign if they hold another full-time, daytime job. So I think that...
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Gerard. I'm Amy Hatch, the co-founder and co-editor of Champaign Moms. We'd like to know, since you're new to the political scene, why voters should support you when they go to the polls on April 5th.
Well, I certainly appreciate Mayor Schweihart's service to the city as a police officer, as a councilman, and as a mayor for the past 12 years. He's put in half a century of service, and I applaud that. I think the time has come with Champaign, as the mayor noted. We are hitting a recession. This is a time where people are concerned, and I think it is time for us to have some new ideas, a new face, and a new voice for the community. I think it's keenly important that we work on our economic development. I think we need to recruit new businesses and retain the businesses that are existing in Champaign, and I think with the business owners I've been talking with, big and small, this is an opportunity they are very excited about. There's other opportunities, I think, with talking with the various neighborhoods, people in the community, all across the community, in every single district. I think people would like to have a fresh voice. I think people would like to have a fresh perspective. And I love this city. I chose to live here. I've lived here for 42 years. I'm raising my family here. My kids are in public school here. I went to public school here. I have friends who own businesses. I have friends who are unemployed. I have friends in every district in Champaign. And I believe I have a vision. I believe that I'm willing to listen to that of the community, the people's visions. And I think that I would be, you know, a good representative for this community, if not a great one, to be honest. Thank you.
Mayor, you mentioned the budget issues. And we'd like to know, the city has proposed that public works and police services undergo cuts, while at the same time the city's top administrators have seen staffs and salaries grow. A proposal is on the table to shut down the Champaign Police Department front desk on nights and weekends, potentially affecting public safety and critical services. If that proposal passes, what will you do in the future to keep our city safe?
Well, first place, the administration has suffered some cutbacks. The city manager himself has not taken a pay raise for the past 2 years. City staff is not getting a pay raise this year, and all non-union employees are not getting a pay raise. So there's sacrifice across the board. We are not shutting down the front desk. We're shutting down portions of the front desk, the front desk service, so anyone coming in. But there will be staff that will be able to support the police officers on the street, answer the telephone, and do various duties. But they will eliminate the walk-ins to the police department between 7 at night and 7 in the morning. But it will be fully staffed and supportive to the police officers.
And you don't feel that that would be a compromising situation in terms of public safety?
Not at this time. We've got compromise on that. There'll be services at the front door if there's a big emergency. with the cell phones and everybody's got, you know, everybody has ample access to the emergency phone numbers, but they will be there on staff if they're needed, and we're just cutting where strategically we can cut without really affecting the service of the community, because this council is dedicated to protecting and serving the community, and they're not going to do anything that they think jeopardizes that safety, and I don't believe that this effort, these cuts, will do that.
Mr. Gerard, your budget proposal, we believe, includes salary cuts for some of the city's top paid administrators. How do you propose that the budget be balanced, and would you support also cutting public safety programs as well?
I am firmly in favor of auditing all top to bottom municipal departments, from the city manager's office down to the public works, and making them all run as efficiently as possible. However, currently the only cuts we are seeing are at the public safety and direct services to the taxpayer level. I applaud the city manager. He received a $6,000 a year raise 2 years ago, so now he makes $171,000. I understand it's a sacrifice. I propose the top 13 employees of the level who earn taxpayer dollars at Champaign, the top 13 employees make $1.7 million in combined salaries. This is a sacrifice for them not to get an additional raise. I'm asking that these employees voluntarily, for 1 year, give up 10%. That could save all of our police department front desk. I've also looked through the budget and realized that there's a lot of departments that have positions which could be cut or consolidated. I work at the University of Illinois, and we cut from the top down. Administrators take furloughs. At the city, the guys filling the potholes are taking furloughs right now. It's not the administrators. How much money could have been saved? Where is the audit? Why is this not being looked at? As a taxpayer, I want the $150,000, the $140,000, the $130,000. I want them to share in the sacrifice, especially when it comes at the expense of public safety and when it comes at the expense of taxpayer services. We have not raised taxes, this is true, but is it not a tax raise if our services are cut, if we're paying the same and getting less? That's how I feel about it. So I believe there should be a shared responsibility. I think there's a lot of bureaucratic levels where offices could be consolidated, outsourced. We're going to outsource all of our phone calls to the front desk of the police department. That, to me, is terrifying, to think that anyone calling with a lost dog or has their car towed is going to now call and be bumped to Metcad, and those calls will back up. God forbid my mother needs to call 911 for a heart attack or anything else. God forbid anything happen. To me, it's just a bad plan. It's a bad idea when people are making so much money at the bureaucratic and administrative level and are telling us their sacrifices that they haven't had a raise in 2 years. I haven't had a raise in 2 years either. I think many of us feel that way. Many of us have faced much tougher cuts. So my idea, plain and simple, start at the top, look at the offices, cut down.
Mayor Schweihart, we'd like to invite you to respond to Mr. Gerard's statements.
Well, I'm just saying, if his mother's having a heart attack, I hope she called 911 instead of the front desk of the police department, because otherwise she'd just be delaying it. But the phone will be answered. Like I said, I don't want to be repetitive, but the front desk will be staffed. They will be answering the phone. The lobby will not be open, is the major difference. They will be there to staff whatever needs the police officers have on the street. So these are strategic cuts that cause the less discomfort to the community people. So, and cuts have to be made. You look around, not only this state, every state practically, there are much, much deeper budget cuts going on. With some of the staffing you're talking about, one of the things with the fire department, what we're trying to do is eliminate $400,000 a year in overtime by rearranging how the fire department works. We're talking about furlough days, but we're also talking about early out that may eliminate some of the problems we got. It seems to be a good program on the early exit that we're offering staff, so we'll see what effects that has on the budget. But the budget still is a progress in work, and I think we'll come out with minimum cuts.
Thank you. Our next question also deals with budgetary issues. The employee pension plan benefits are a large part of Champaign's budget, and it appears that this will be a long-term issue, as it is in many other communities across the nation. What do you propose is the best way to deal with this obligation without putting undue strain on an already challenging budget? And we'll kick off with Mr. Gerard.
The city has already decided how they're going to deal with that. It was decided last night. They're not going to refinance, and they're going to keep the status quo, keep things as they were. They saw an opportunity for $400,000 a year in savings, but they didn't feel the risk was worth it. I'm not a financial expert. I am happy the city deferred to financial experts. I'm disappointed that the outcome was not as such that it would create revenue for us. Over the course of 10 years, $400,000 a year is $4 million, but they felt like the risk was going to be too much. My understanding is that's even a low, you know, low number. But there again, this has been decided. It was decided last night. The mayor and seven others voted 8-0 to not refinance the pension obligation, so the pension obligation will stand as it is.
So it does stand. So how would you combat that were you to be elected mayor?
Once again, it just, we have to work with the financial director, I have to work with the financial department, have to solicit RFIs, requests for information from financial experts to see if there are ways that we can creatively or just simply matter-of-factly refinance or deal with these types of things. I brought an idea to the table. I'm not a banker. I brought an idea to the table that was proposed by Chapin Rose in October of 2010. It was on halfwayinteresting.com, a very nice essay where he suggested that refinancing the pension obligation would be an excellent way for the state to deal with its budgetary crisis. Chapin Rose is a Republican. I was a little skeptical at first. I spoke with another Republican who's a finance specialist, and he concurred. So the city took it to their specialists, and they made the decision. So,
thank you. Mayor Schweihart, how do you propose to contain costs as we go forward with this on the books?
Well, I'm somewhat bewildered that my opponent keeps saying that he got his budget proposal from Chapin Rose. I received the exact same proposal that he presented as his budget probably a month before he got it, by a gentleman in the community who is a financial banker. I told him that I could or not, the council could not, okay a budget of this magnitude without taking it to our financial officers and then have an independent financial person that didn't have an interest in benefiting from this look into it and see what the good sides and the bad sides are. We did that. We went through the process of getting an independent financial expert that we use at the city, other people in the community we talked to, and to a number. I never had anybody tell me that this was a good proposal, not even Chapin Rose. We had the meeting last night, and the council agreed with all the financial reports that they've seen. This would push debt down maybe 10, 20, 30 years into the future to the next generation. That's not what the city council wants to do. We have a program set up on the pension that was a 20-year program. We're 10 years into that program now. We're paying well more than we have to by state law, way more than other communities are, so our pension and funding thing is in good shape. And in 10 years, we'll be in a stable condition. We did not want to extend that out. His proposal would depend on the stock markets doing well, and if they don't, then it could be a severe problem. It also locked you into a set payment every year, where the program we have now is flexible. So we think we're on the right step to come out with a balanced budget that when this recession's over, Champaign will be in a position to move forward and take advantage of where other communities can't because they went into too much debt. So we're hoping to avoid that and be ready to move forward aggressively.
Thank you. We're going to switch gears. And the next question we received from a concerned mom in the community. On Tuesday, February 8th, the Champaign City Council held a study session to review the 2007 citywide groundwater restriction ordinance. This ordinance is being used as an institutional control by corporations who are responsible for cleaning up groundwater pollution. By invoking the citywide ordinance, the Illinois EPA allows the corporations to leave the groundwater as it is without undertaking a cleanup effort. At the study session, the council took a straw poll and voted to repeal the citywide ordinance and instead allow its use on a case-by-case and site-specific basis. However, the city council has yet to take a formal vote on the repeal of the groundwater ordinance. Would you support a total repeal of the groundwater ordinance rather than allowing it to be used on a case-by-case basis? And I'll actually refer that, and then I'll ask the second part of the question after you respond to that, Mayor Schweihart.
Right now we're concerned with that neighborhood on a long-term problem. That problem was there when I was a teenager in the community, so it's an ongoing problem. I've been to several neighborhood meetings to discuss it with them. We've got good reports from the EPA and from Ameren. Ameren has done a tremendous amount of work, but they're still concerned about the groundwater. The council looked at it, and I think the council as a whole is willing to do something for the neighborhood to relieve their fears of what might be, you know, detected by further studies. One of the problems is there's about three or four other properties in the community that received clearance to go ahead and build after the EPA did the checking and they gave them a clearance. If, I guess what we've been made to understand that if we rescind this for an isolated area, it's going to affect the whole area, and then the other ones will have to go back, and we don't know how much work they'll have to do at what expense, and there's already businesses built there. So we're waiting to get information on that. Once we get all the information, mm-hmm. I know the council is deeply concerned about what we can do for that neighborhood and to make it a little more peaceful nights for them. So it's a problem that we're working through now, but we're working so far cooperatively with the neighborhood and listening to them, and that's one of the things I think that makes this city great is we can sit down with the neighbors and have a good conversation about problems and solutions. So it's not done yet. A lot of information to come.
Candidate Girard, do you like to respond to that?
I absolutely support the complete repeal. From my understanding, this is not necessary. It's not a necessary ordinance to have. At that particular meeting to which you refer, Councilman Kyle Harrison noted that there's an immense disparity between what the Illinois EPA is saying and what the neighborhood is saying. And he was so uncomfortable with this huge disparity. I'm surprised to hear the mayor's known about this since he was a kid. I just found out about it recently, and I think most people in the community are not aware of this situation. And I'm surprised the more and more I hear about it how long this has been going on. But this disparity lies where the neighbors are very concerned, and the EPA is telling us it's okay. I, for one, am not confident in using the data of the Illinois EPA, which was culled under the tainted and corrupt administration of Rod Blagojevich. I think a man who was greatly financed by Ameren, whose head of the IEPA left and a year later became a lobbyist for Ameren, I'm going to question that data. I'm going to call that we need to do some more study. And it's my understanding a study exists that was done by the University of Illinois, and I can't find a councilman or woman who has seen it. But my understanding is that grad students at the University of Illinois, under the tutelage of a professor there, made concentric circles and did their own studies on what kind of health effects were happening. And there was two forms of cancer, so rare you would be shocked to find one in the entire county, two cases in two different families right across the street, multiple cases of different types of cancer. If this report exists, it needs to come out. If this report exists, the council needs to see it, the city needs to see it. If there is an outside entity threatening the neighborhoods and the people and the lives of our community, it needs to be investigated. A talk on the porch is super. That's great. But I think if this report exists, and if it doesn't, I think the Illinois Public Health District should do a report. I think they need to look at those. I think it's not enough to shrug it off and say, well, people have cancer. That's not a good answer, especially when we're talking about benzene in the water, in the ground, where children play. It's a problem, and someone needs to take responsibility, and someone needs to step up.
I just want to clarify one thing. You know, being I said that I knew that site since I was a teenager. I didn't know it had contamination, but I just knew the site's been there for that long, and it was vacant that long ago.
The state of Illinois, as we all know, is in dire financial straits. The rate of child poverty in Champaign County is 24%, according to our sources, and 8.7% of those children actually live in extreme poverty. Some of the most critical services for our most at-risk populations, like those children, are under severe strain from the budget cuts coming from the state. What role do you think the city might play in compensating for potential state cuts in services to children and families in Champaign? And we'll start with Candidate Girard.
Well, for one thing, I think we just had a tax hike in Illinois, and I think it's extraordinarily important for our local government to work with our elected officials in Springfield to bring some of that money back. There have been proposals for intergovernmental programs which have been rejected by the mayor. I don't see that. In a time of financial crisis for a program that may help, you know, the least of our brethren, I don't understand the point of turning those down based upon some idealism or ideology about rejecting federal money or state money. That's the first step. The other is obviously, as we said, you know, to tighten our belts, to slim down our government, to make sure that the type of programs that we need in our community to have a strong and healthy community remain.
Thank you. Mayor Schweihart, would you like to respond?
Well, I'd like to know, for one thing, when I get done, of what programs I've rejected. But as far as going to the state for the increase of 66% they're talking about, I've already checked into that. Cities will not benefit from any of that money. It will not be shared. What the cities are concerned about now, again, with the state and the severe problem it's in, that they would raise or lower the share that we get from motor fuel taxes and sales tax, that would put a severe damper on what the city can do. What we do is work with a lot of the local agencies to help them secure grants into the community, and a lot of them are shared grants. But that's the way we help. I'll give you an example. Just recently, we were the lead agency for the Children and Family Services, or Women in Transition. Got them over $1 million grant, and we also have excess property in the community that we want to get rid of that we've accumulated over the years through different sources. Some of that property is going to be donated to Habitat to build some 4 or 5 homes in the community, and then the rest of it is going to be sold to Women in Transition for $1 that they can then rent out and make some money. So we work with the agencies in different manners, but a lot of it is helping them secure grants in the community. I don't know of anything to grant that I've turned down except the broadband, and I don't know how that helps our social agencies.
Did you want to respond, Canada?
It was a program that dealt with, it was going to be an intergovernmental program which would provide state money, which would go to our local inspectors to have an extra layer of inspection for a segment of our housing in our house. And the mayor's exact quote was, they've been bringing this up for 25 years and I've turned it down. I actually got up and spoke at that meeting, and the mayor then voted in favor of it. So,
this is a related question. What role do you think city government can or should play in supporting healthy child development in the city of Champaign? Mayor Schweihart. Excuse me. I knew that was going to happen once today.
We don't have a direct connection with the younger children, but what we do is we got what we call a neighborhood wellness program. And we work with troubled neighborhoods. We took part of our money that we get from the state or federal government. And, for example, Garden Hills neighborhood was a neighborhood that had severe problems. We organized the schools and the park districts and the police departments to all work together to work with that community. Since that time, we've also put in sidewalks and streetlights to help. And then we have what we call community policing, where the police officers actually get out of the car, go to each of the houses, meet the people, see what their problems are. So we work kind of not with different agencies, but with the neighborhoods to see what their problems are, what the solutions are, and working directly with the people. So I don't know if that's where you're wanting to go, but that's where we're at.
Kennedy Gerard.
That's fine. I mean, neighborhood programs. I think really what we're talking about, especially in these times, is bringing our community together. And we're talking about, for example, my children have been blessed to have a wonderful childhood in this city, and I'm very proud of them. And my son and daughter are mentors to their friends, to their younger students. There's this opportunity. We don't have the money for a lot of these programs. We can't just go out and just serve the underserved neighborhoods. It's really all the children and all the people in our community. If I may just digress just a touch bit, there's one. I have a friend who loves baseball. I talked about that this morning. He really loves baseball a lot. And in Champaign, once Little League ends, a lot of the kids stop playing baseball. And recently there was a 5-part article written by a gentleman from the Sun-Times for an online publication, and he quoted the mayor. And as I recall, the mayor's quote was, kids in Champaign, hockey is more popular, and lots of kids play soccer, and it's something you really can't explain why baseball's fallen off. Well, kids do play soccer. I guess they play hockey. That's true. But my friend who loves baseball, he has this idea. There's a ball field where I played. It's currently underdeveloped. It's bicentennial. There's 2 ball fields. He has a vision. He has a vision to build a baseball complex, 2 fields, and some training facilities. he's working with, he's talking to the Park District, and he's talking to local investors. And he's gotten a line on Major League Baseball, apparently has a number of grants to serve those less fortunate in our communities who might not have the opportunity to promote these type of programs for baseball. So he's talking to them. He's talking with Ernie Westfield from the Negro League. And he sees this as an opportunity to not only increase revenues in Champaign. If we had these complexes, we could bring tournaments. We could bring tournaments from out of town. Legion ball could play, travel teams, all kinds of stuff. It would be an opportunity in the summertime to really do something. But in addition to that, it's a mentoring opportunity for all the kids who stop playing baseball when they're 12 to continue on up through high school. And if we can get those kids from Little League to high school, maybe they'll start playing some ball. Maybe they'll have coaches, opportunities for mentors. That's what it's about. It's about opportunities and people with vision. My friend Phil, his son probably won't be around to see the fruition of this. He'll probably be off in college. But I applaud him, and I think that's an absolutely fantastic idea. And if I were so honored to be elected mayor of Champaign, that's precisely the type of thing that I would invest my time in, precisely the type of thing that I would see as for the greater good of the community in so many ways, for the game of baseball. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Schweihart, would you like to respond?
I keep getting amazed how he keeps adding things that I said that I didn't say. I had a grandson that played hockey, but I don't think it's going past what baseball does because it's quite expensive, a lot of travel. I myself coached Little League Baseball for 14 years, so I was deeply involved in the sport. If his friend's got a vision, then you know, God bless him, he can carry out his vision, but it's not something we do as a city. But individually, I've coached, like I say, Little League Baseball. I created the, most of you are too young to remember, but there used to be the Champaign-Urbana Courier swim meet. When they folded up, I took it over as a director, and we had the police department all-city swim, and we headed that. Talking about the individuals that can't afford things, back when I was a police officer, there was a young girl by the name of Bonnie Blair. She knew she was a good skater and wanted to proceed in international competition, couldn't afford to. I met with her over a cup of coffee. We decided she had to skate in a month. She needed $8,000. I said, you don't have time to worry about that. You go skate. I'll see to it you got the money. The police department then at that time adopted her. We raised the money, and we supported Bonnie then throughout her career, who then, a little girl with a vision and not much money, was able to bring back 5 gold medals to this community. So I believe in being involved in the community, but personally involved, and that's some of my past. So.
Thank you. This is a somewhat related question. As poverty rises, often do violent crimes and troubles in town, and particularly we've seen an increase in youth violence and crime over the last 18 months. As mayor of Champaign, what do you see as the city's role in helping to reduce violent behavior among the community's youth population? And we'll begin with Mayor Schweihart.
Well, it's a several-fold thing. A lot of that trouble we had early in the summer was caused by school-age kids. We worked with the schools. We worked with other communities. You have to work with the state's attorney's office. Then we put extra patrol on the trouble areas of the street. You use undercover policemen. You use all the methods available to you. We were able to make several arrests out of the intense police work that we did on that procedure. We credit ourselves with being a quality of life city in this community that it's a good place to raise your family. So police enforcement, keeping down violent crimes is one of the foremost things we want to do. We created a new downtown Champaign that's a destination point for people to go to. We said we simply cannot have crime in that area, and it has been a very low crime area in order for it to be successful. So crime problems are always top on our list to stamp on as quick as we can.
Thank you. Candidate Girard, your response?
Well, I think in what I'm finding out and what I'm finding when I talk to the community, I think the number one thing is the community, much of the community does not feel like it any longer has a voice and is frustrated. I think a big part is, you know, the mayor should be a conduit for the voice of the people to the city. And I think the mayor needs to work with communities and individuals and church leaders and do these things. Not on the city's dime, I'm saying, but this should be the mayor 24 hours a day as a representative of the city. He can work with these types of with various types of groups to help with the situation. Certainly, there's legislative things, there's actions with the police, but really I think what it comes down to is the police having a dialogue with the community and the community having a dialogue with the police. There are vehicles available. There are mechanisms available for this type of dialogue which we can engage. I think that, you know, for a mayor to walk out to the neighborhoods, to go out to the neighborhoods, to go to these places, to work with the police and make the community feel as though they have a voice, I think that's a big first step. I think there's a lot of bridges to be built in this community. I'm certain of it. And I think the big first step really is to have someone go out and be a voice for the community and work with our police, our firefighters, bring them together. We had a community forum in which my friend Aaron Ammons showed up. And Aaron's he's into social justice. He's an activist. And he said to the firemen, he said, "This little girl died. Why aren't my people having more training on things about safety?" And the firefighter Andy Kornstrom said, "Well, as a matter of fact, while our budgets are being cut, we don't have money for these types of things, you can call and you can bring groups to the fire station. We would love to do that." And Aaron said, "I can?" He said, "Absolutely. Absolutely you can do that." And Aaron said, "Well, all right." And now Aaron said, "I'm going to get together a group of kids, and I'm going to bring them to the fire station. And I'm going to bring them to talk to you, Andy, and I want you to talk to them about safety." And I thought, well, you know, we had a lot of people sneer and snicker at the community forum we set, but right there, I mean, I thought that was a connection. That was something that's important, and that's the type of thing the mayor should be doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I get to respond to that?
Go for it.
Because he almost made my point. He said the mayor should be 24 hours a day. So my question is, where are you going to fit 24 hours in when you got a full-time day job? But he said exactly what we're doing in this community. This is a very much touch and feely city council and mayor administration. I'll just give an example. We're just getting through the drainage problems on West John Street. That's been a server problem. The watershed people on East and West Washington Street. That's been a continuous problem of them, community leaders, working with the city and the city staff to make sure that we can get progress made, and we've made significant progress. We'll be starting on the John Street area. We wouldn't have done this without the cooperation of the community and the city working together. And I'll give you another example of hands-on. You know, I had a lady call me last summer. It was extremely hot. She called me. I had a son that was an invalid, was bedfast, couldn't get out of the bed, and she was concerned about the heat problem. So I went out and talked to her, saw what the situation was. I went to a local department store, and they were out of air conditioners. I was going to buy her an air conditioner and have it installed. When the store found out what I was doing, they went to their Springfield office, got an air conditioner, brought it back, and had it installed in the lady's house. Another 90-year-old lady that called me, and I ended up with a great relationship with this lady. She was a great historian who often disagreed with Dan McCollum on the history. But it was a case where she called me one day and she couldn't get to her mailbox because of the snow. I went out and hand shoveled the snow so she could get to her mailbox. So I have that community relationship, and if anybody knows me and my wife, they know that we're out in this community all of the time.
We've heard a couple of times about the time commitment for mayor here in Champaign. It's currently a part-time position. Should the mayorship be a full-time position? And we'll kick that off with candidate Gerard.
I would not like to get ahead of myself. The mayor is technically a part-time position. It is paid as such, and the expectations are as such. I would really not like to go there. If I may, though, I mean, I'd be happy to address, you know, the mayor's concerns, and I do appreciate that. I won't be playing, if I am elected, I won't be playing any softball, much to the delight of my fellow softball players, I'm sure. And I probably won't start any bands, much to the delight of anyone who goes and sees bands. Those who know me know that there's been rarely a time in my life when I haven't had two jobs. And there are people in our community now who work two or three jobs. Anyone who's been a doctor, a lawyer, or own their own business is more than familiar with 80 to 100 hour weeks. And for goodness sakes, anyone who is a mom, a working mom, is that not two jobs? I know mothers who have daytime jobs, have small children, and then write at night and put this out. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that having a full-time job and another full-time job is that big of a deal in this day and age. There are people in our community who work two and three jobs just to put food on the table, just to pay their rent. I'm talking about having a second job because I want to serve this community, the community that I love, and it's an opportunity. I'm making the sacrifice. I understand there will be less time for my family, and I will have to enjoy those times and relish them more with my friends. My friend Brian, we won't be calling as many basketball games, right, Brian? Yep. Say amen. So I really don't understand it. I don't understand the concern, but I appreciate it. But I feel like I'm in pretty good shape. My kids are teenagers, and they are very good at taking care of themselves, and I have a supportive mother here. And I'm up for the task. I wouldn't be standing here if I wasn't.
Thank you. Mayor Schweihart, do you feel the position of mayor should be a full-time one? It sounds like you work full-time and then some at this position.
No, I'm happy the way it is. I'm a strong supporter of the city manager type of government in this community, but I guess his answer didn't totally satisfy me because, you know, sure, he might have to give up night baseball or coaching or something like that, but that doesn't answer the question of two full-time daytime jobs. As mayor, he has to serve on city several committees. He has to be the chair of several committees. He has to be there at certain times or else ignore the city. I know several mayors in the past that have only served one term because they could not get paid while they worked at their professional job and had to serve as mayor. I hope he realizes that working for the state, he can't take time off to work for the city and get double dipped and paid from both jobs. It will be a severe economic impact to him with the two daytime jobs. So I still question his ability to give the service that needs to be given to the people of Champaign, especially say when he says you should be a mayor 24 hours a day meeting with all of these people. You're spreading yourself awful thin.
Thank you for your concern, Mayor. I greatly appreciate it. I'm not quite sure how to respond. I guess I could say, all right, well, then maybe we should have a full-time mayor and pay $85,000 a year, and I'd like that job so that I could support all my time. And I tell you what, I'll work 100 hours if I have to. That's fine. Again, I appreciate your concern. I'm not quite sure if you're aware of how much time I've banked as far as vacation time, any discussions I've had with the university. As far as double dipping, I understand the differences. I'm a supervisor at the university, and I would not want my employees campaigning. I wouldn't want my secretary campaigning on the taxpayers' dollars. I wouldn't want that to happen. So, you know, I appreciate your concern. Thanks very much.
My concern is not so much for you as it is for the city services.
Mayor Schweihart, we know that what happens in the city of Champaign in fact affects the entire metro area. In light of all the budget woes at the local, county, and state level, the time has arrived to collaborate with our surrounding communities and their governments. What strategies would you propose to increase efficiencies, maximize resources, and foster savings by collaborating with other government bodies outside of the city of Champaign?
Of course, we had the Economic Development Committee, and our commitment is you know, we're not going to seek just sites for Champaign, but in the Champaign County area, because any business that comes to the Champaign County area is going to be a benefit to the entire area. I guess that's a big thing. We're working for the county to create the whole thing for the city.
Do you see any other potential partnerships with other cities or the county government?
We're working with some of the communities along the Interstate 74 to create businesses along the corridor there so that we can create a more united front with the state. Instead of just Champaign going, you know, if we have other communities along 74, we can create a larger force and a larger voice with the state.
To solicit highway dollars, is that what you're referring to? Or in general?
In general. Any kind of growth that would create a larger voice, give a larger voice to that community to bring business downstate.
Mr. Gerard, would you like to address that question?
If I may, and I apologize, I'm a bit of a I go down a little few tangents here, but the internet is a fickle mistress, and earlier the mayor said he doesn't remember saying any of these things. DonGerard.com. I'll write a blog later, and I will have the links of everything that I said the mayor said tonight, so you can check that out. That having been said, if you look on the internet at the EDC, the Economic Development Corporation, you don't see the mayor's name. Tom Bruno and Craig Ross are involved. And the business people I spoke with, they said they would very much like to have a dynamic, enthusiastic representative at the mayor's level. So, and that extends, you know, through the county. I don't know. I'm not aware. I'm not going to go on record as saying this, but I'm not aware of the mayor going to Springfield terribly often. I've spoken with some of our elected representatives, and they have expressed a desire to have a more representative voice in Champaign to help them help us. So, you know, that is one another thing, you know, another aspect in which I'd be more than happy to and honored to be the face and voice of Champaign, to work with our elected officials to try to, you know, help with our economic growth beyond the borders.
Aside from economic growth, though, do you see any opportunities for consolidation of services, economies of scale that the communities could work together to save money collectively? And we'll ask Mayor Schweihart to respond to that initially.
We tried to work here recently with Champaign County on the garage where they work on the cars and things. That didn't work out good. We do work, city manager and myself meet with Urbana, all the different agents in the community, Urbana, University, Park District, Unifor School, on what we're working together on, how we can work together on it. We have regular meetings with them to bring this up. So we're always looking for them opportunities. A lot of the things that we do on purchasing, like we just purchased rock salt last night, that's done through a cooperative bidding thing through the state of Illinois. So we're always looking at things that we can bind and save money.
Thank you. Candidate Gerard?
65% of the contracts with the city and vendors go outside of Champaign County. Some are outside of the state. I think for starters, we could do more business in the county, certainly do more business in the city. I think, you know, purchasing rock salt is a good idea. That's great. But, this is the thing where we talk about, we've had a system of government here, and we've had the same people working in the system of government for a quarter of a century. Sometimes when government works that long with the same people, sometimes you get into habits. And it's not to say they're doing a bad job by any means. I think our bureaucrats and administrators do a fine job, but sometimes you get a little set in your ways, and I think sometimes it is more difficult to work with other municipalities. Maybe we do need a fresh perspective. Maybe we need a new face. Maybe we need somebody who, you know, can negotiate these things. I don't have any hard, fast ideas. That's something I haven't thought about a whole lot, but certainly if the opportunity is there, if we can speak, if we can have a dialogue with other communities, municipalities, certainly, absolutely. I think that's a good idea.
We'll stick with you, Mr. Gerard. You mentioned this in your opening statement or in your opening question. In light of recent actions by the state, what would you propose to retain and attract existing and emerging business in Champaign? And can you give us some concrete examples of proposals or initiatives or programs that you would implement as mayor in terms of retaining and attracting business to our community?
I think a big part of it is just talking with the businessmen. And as I said, I mean, I've spoken with largest developers and the smallest single, you know, employee operations. And what they want is they want to talk, you know, they want to have somebody to have their back and back them up. I don't really have any legislative, and the mayor of Champaign obviously does not have a lot of legislative power. The mayor's power lies within his ability to negotiate and communicate. And I think the biggest thing is to talk to the Carlos Nietos, talk to the Peter Foxes, talk to the Cody Sikalskis, and at the same time, you know, talk to the Danelle Jamesons who own Circles, talk to the, you know, the owners of the coffee shops and the small businesses, talk to them all and get them involved. And see what's going to, you know, what's going to make our economy grow, what's going to make their businesses do well.
Mayor Schweihart.
I just want to back up on one comment. They said I'm not on the Economic Development Council. It's my duty as a mayor to appoint different council people to different committees. And I happen to have been the one that appointed Mr. Bruno, and we have Marcy and Karen and all of the council people assigned to a different committee. So that's part of the job as mayor, not to do everything, but to make sure that all these officers are filled. And then I have regular meetings with Mr. Bruno and Mr. Carter to go over what's going on and what's the important problem. So I am involved. I just had to get tickled at his last comment. We had to meet with people in the coffee shops, and I'm certainly known for doing that. But I was recently, you know, I talk about meeting with all these businessmen like I never do. I was just recently endorsed by the Chamber of Commerce. That is a very business-type organization, and we both had a forum before them, and they came out and endorsed me for their candidate. So I do have a relationship with the working people. Just yesterday I was at a developer forum where there were probably 20 developers there. We discussed mutual problems and listened to them. So it's not like I'm not going to these meetings. If I'm not there at the meetings, I'm there and getting informed. I've sat on the chair as from the Regional Plan Commission and different committees, served as chair, so I have been deeply involved in all of these things that he said I should be involved in.
Mr. Drar, would you like to respond? Okay. We'll move on. The responsibility for the upcoming decision about the future of Central High School rests with the Unifor School Board, but the mayor and city government may have a role to play. The decision will have an impact on our area's transportation, taxes, and the future of education in our city. How do you foresee the city working with the school district when it comes to choosing a location for this new building? And do you support building at a new site or considering infill locations? And I'm going to pose this question to Mayor Schweihart first.
We city has been working with the school district on looking at possible sites and everything. I'm going to make some points with the former mayor, Dan McCollum, because I am for the infill. I think an ideal situation would be to make Central High School, maybe a middle school, a junior high, and then Central Complex developed into the high school. You have at Centennial, you have the football field, the soccer field, all of the sports facilities that you need at that location, and it's going to keep the school district central. I don't mind when you have, you know, one of the private schools move out to the area because they serve a certain community. But I do not think out on Olympia Drive or someplace on the far areas of the city is beneficial to our entire community. So I'm hoping that the school board looks at infilling, using the old Central, maybe updating it so it's got some of the modern technology into it, and then developing the other site at Centennial for the high school out there. They have plenty of land and plenty of school out there.
So I'm not sure if I understand you. You're saying to further develop Centennial for expansion?
They would have to update Central because it doesn't have some of the connections it needs. But then they could develop Central into becoming the high school. And again, they'd probably have to remodel some of that because it's got a few years on it. But it's going to be a whole lot cheaper to remodel that into the high school than it is to try and buy 80 acres and then build a several million dollar school up in that area. But like you say, it's going to cause a tremendous problem with transportation, people getting to that site. So my preference would be keep them most central.
Mr. Jarr?
My personal preference would be absolutely infill. I think that the school board, I think they're doing the right thing. I think any time when you're talking about any sort of plans, you need to put every single option on the table. If it's outside the city limits, you need to put it all down and you need to weigh the pros and cons. In my heart, I want to retain Central High School, and as a you know, a hometown guy, I would like to see two high schools. I'm not overly excited about the notion of one enormous high school. I think that that's you lose a lot of opportunities. There's only 9 guys who can play baseball. There's only 11 guys who can play on offense or defense. You, by combining the two schools, you reduce the athletic programs. You reduce a lot of the flavor of our community. I think that, you know, school rivalry, inner-city rivalry is a big thing. As far as locations, I'm going to leave that to the school board for now to propose. And absolutely, I mean, infill would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. It would be great for transportation. It would be great for you know, getting back to where kids can walk to school, take the bus, and so forth. So I agree with the mayor. I think that we need to keep the school in town as best as we can.
And if you're elected mayor, how do you foresee working with the school board? It's just a general question.
Oh, just like as we're doing right now, sit down, talk the pros and cons, hear from the experts, and talk about, you know, there's nuts and bolts, there's nickels and dimes that you need to talk about, there's logistics you need to talk about, but I think we also need to talk about, you know, the flavor and culture of our community. I'm sure the mayor would agree with me on that. So.
Thank you. This is shifting gears a little bit, but in terms of, no pun intended, pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicle traffic, Champaign's campus town is one of the most heavily traveled areas in the city, if not the surrounding area. Why or why not would you support a handheld cell phone ban in the city of Champaign? And we'll start with candidate Gerard.
My brother is an economist, and I've always asked him about the seatbelts on school buses and so forth, and I understand a lot of this type of legislation is driven by economics. If there's not enough accidents happening and the commerce generated by this type of cell phone use exceeds that, then legislators have a hard time bringing these things together. On a local level, though, I think we can be a lot more common sense. It just simply makes sense. With Bluetooth technology, hands-free devices, or quite simply, you know, oftentimes I will just turn my phone off if I'm taking a walk or driving. Just common sense. But I think, yeah, it is frightening. It is especially frightening for me, spending a significant amount of my time down on campus, to think of motorists on cell phones while students are on cell phones and they're all walking and driving in the same streets. There again, I think it's a common sense thing. I think you weigh the pros and cons, but as someone who has gone for years and years often without owning a car, I own one now, don't worry, and I ride my bike a lot. I like to ride around, and I will wear my helmet. So, you know, certainly, as a personal thing, yes, I think I would feel safer if that type of ban was enacted.
Okay. Mayor Schweinhart?
I would be all for using the hands-off device. I'd also take it a step farther and ban it while you're walking, because I drive through the campus, and you see students with their phone or texting and cross a busy street and don't look up any direction. So the motorist just has to be extremely careful. And then if the motorist is doing the same thing, you're destined to have trouble. I'm surprised sitting and watching the campus traffic how we don't have many more fatal accidents with the way people survive over there by talking on them.
They
just don't look when they're crossing the street. Like I say, they head down straight across and never look up to see if anything's coming.
This is a more general question than the previous one, but how do you envision the city council working towards making our city safer for bicyclists and pedestrians?
Well, we're working on what we call, as we build now new roads, we're talking about complete streets. They would have to be for the traffic and for a bicycle lane. If you've noticed, we've had a lot of new bicycle lanes throughout the city. As we move forward with new streets, that will be one of our objectives, to have the complete streets. We're working, actually fighting with the state now on the overpasses over Kirby and Windsor Road. They want to build it as is now. We're saying, no, you can't do that. You know, it's got to be a complete street because it's very, very dangerous if you've been out there for walking or bicycling. So our goal is to have a complete street whenever we build.
Thank you. Candidate Gerard?
Yeah, absolutely. I applaud the city's efforts. I think that's a great thing. I think we could also, you know, to go further, I would like to see public service. I like when I'm riding my bike and I see on the back of the bus, you know, the sign that says leave 3 feet for the bicyclists, just to continue on in those same ways. So I would agree with the mayor. I think they're going in the right direction. One thing that I would like to add, and I'm sure the mayor would agree with this, is to add the local CU cycling groups into this discussion and into this dialogue to get their views and their opinions and their insights. For the people who, you know, ride miles and miles and miles every day, to have them help consult. And I, you know, there again, this isn't really a point of argument. I'm sure we both agree on this.
Thank you. Tax revenue has been flat or down during the recent recession. How do you balance the financial needs of city government without the Champaign taxpayers bearing the burden? And related, do you support increases in local sales or property taxes? And we'll kick that off with Mayor Schweinhart.
On the property taxes, definitely no. We haven't done that for 12 years. Like I said, we've created a balanced budget on time for 12 years without increasing property tax. We're looking at, as we go through this process, again, doing it with surgical type cuts that we do not affect, because the citizens are going through the same pain we are on trying to balance their budgets. So some of the increases that we do, it might be through fees on, we're talking about some of the parking problems, mainly criminals that use their vehicle. It was discussed last night. Fines could be increased on that. But sales tax would hurt us if we could increase that. It would chase business away. Property tax is just taboo. I will never vote for an increase in property tax.
Would you like to respond?
I purchased my home last year. It was reassessed, so the property tax is off the table. As far as I'm concerned, I pay a lot of taxes. I would not favor tax increases. As I have said, and I've said in the press, I've tried to say in the press, and I say, you know, pretty much every day, I would like to see a comprehensive audit of the local government from top to bottom to see where cuts can be made, savings can be made. It's amazing as a candidate to be in this sort of surreal position where I get anonymous letters and emails of photographs of city vehicles in Mahomet that are unused and these sorts of things. And it's kind of strange. I don't really know what to do with this information, but it leads me to believe that there are a lot of areas in which we can audit top to bottom before we're browning out fire stations or before we're, you know, laying off police support.
We'd like to thank both of you for being here tonight. We're going to move forward to closing remarks, and we'd like to offer that opportunity to Mr. Gerard first, please.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank the Junior League, the Shambana Moms, the Champaign Public Library, thank Mayor Schweihart. This is an important day for democracy. It has been a long time since we've had a mayoral debate, and it's a long time since we've had a choice of who will be the face and voice of our community. So in addition to that, I want to thank all of you. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for coming out. It is said the city of Champaign has a weak mayor form of government. While this may be true semantically, I don't for one minute believe that in terms of the mayor's roles and the lives of the citizens, this is the case. I am of the mind the mayor has an opportunity of great influence if he so chooses. The opportunity to engage with developers and business owners, both large and small, to cultivate the economy, to create jobs, and increase revenues. Currently, less than 1% of the contracts with the city have been granted to minorities or women firms. This is a disparity I would fight to address. The mayor has the opportunity to promote cultural aspects which add to the character of our fine city. Ebert Fest, Pygmalion Music Festival, Orpheum Children's Museum, CUTC, Indigo Galleries, 40 North, the list goes on and on. I would be honored to have the platform of mayor to promote these type of cultural aspects, to be the face who says, these are jewels in our community. This is the flavor of our community. The mayor has the opportunity to promote Champaign on a state, national, and even global level. As a taxpayer, I'm frustrated with paying more and hearing our mayor reject intergovernmental programs and federal funding to reinvest in our community, such as the UC2B project. I would work with our elected officials in Springfield to help them make sure that our share is returned. The mayor has the opportunity to give the community a voice. Everyone, from the Nobel laureates to the hardworking municipal employees who plow our snow, support our police and firefighters, and keep our roads safe. Champaign is facing its worst budget crisis in 40 years, yet our sister city to the east is not. With all the tax revenues, expansion, and growth, how did this happen? Well, we have a recession. We can't blame one man. But I can ask, how did it come so quickly, so necessary, to slash and eliminate direct services to taxpayers while we overpay on our pension bonds to stay ahead? Typically, at this time of year, the city would have 8 public works employees filling potholes, and the city manager would have 4 assistants. Currently, there are 4 workers assigned to potholes, and these workers are being faced with furlough days, days without pay. Currently, there are 4 assistants assigned to the city manager's office. There are no cuts, there are no furloughs for these employees. And there are none scheduled, and other than myself, there have been none recommended. I have called for shared responsibility, a reduction in the administrative department staffing, and a one-year 10% salary cut from the 13 highest paid at $1.7 million taxpayer dollars in salaries. I am by absolutely no means suggesting that these bureaucratic level employees do not do fine work. They do. However, potholes are a constant concern. They're there. You all know it. And a fully staffed legal, financial, information technology, and city manager's office is not going to fill those potholes. It troubles me to have witnessed Mayor Schweihart scold our firefighters for being greedy and ignore the pleas of the police sports staff who begged him, email, written letter, and in person, to come sit at the desk, see what we do, come observe, and to hear them say the mayor was not interested, he did not respond. That troubles me. And it troubles me that he's protecting bureaucratic salaries. How is this, as his internet persona claims, transparency in local government? John Quincy Adams once said, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. I would very much like to inspire you to do more, dream more, become more. That's why I'm asking for your vote on April 5th to take Champaign in a new direction of leadership. Thank you.
Most of these salaries he's talking about are by contract. We cannot do away with them without violating the contract of the city manager, the staff people he was talking about. But like I said, they have cut their salary. They have voluntarily not taken pay raises. The city manager is not overpaid. We go over that as a council every time he comes up for a salary, compare him with other cities in the Midwest and other Big Ten schools, and he's not top of the list of being paid city manager. So I think we're getting a good deal on what we pay our city manager, who's been a leader in this community and through some awful good time for 20-some years. We were fortunate to have Steve Carter as our leader. This is tough times, and we're making minimal cuts compared to other communities around us. And we're in position to come out of this at the end, if there's an end to this recession, in a position to move ahead much faster than the others. I think the reason that, I had a very heated race my first time, but there has been no opposition the last two times, I credit that with the people are satisfied with the direction of the city. We've made it a destination point. We've seen substantial growth in the community. And let me just give you a somewhat of a list in the last 12 years that we've accomplished, going down with we've created Olympia Drive in Champaign, Windsor Road, Interstate Drive, Curtis Road, the Boneyard Street, Second Reach, the John Street Watershed Project we'll be starting on, and we're working with the community leaders on the Washington Street and the East Drainage Project. We've seen the downtown transformed into a destination point. Empty parking lots were developed into the M2 building and one main building, which has brought new businesses and new jobs. At one time, people are complaining, well, there's no place to park downtown. Well, at one time, you could park any place you wanted downtown because there was no activity. The old Burnham Hospital was set vacant for 10 years, not in the tax roll. It's now an 18-story building with a brand new grocery store to serve that area that wasn't there. That's major improvement for that section of town. Fourth and Green, we replaced the Burger King on campus with a new 20-story building with a proposal to move ahead with another building next to that in similar height. Downtown, we've created a dramatic area between University of Illinois and the downtown Champaign. All of these things were done with a budget that has remained balanced for 12 years, reduced the property tax from $1.31 to $1.29 per $100 EAV. So I think for the two terms that I did not have an opponent, people are happy with the progress the city has made and that we're moving forward and we're ahead of most other communities in our area. So I'm happy, I'm satisfied with the work we've accomplished. I look forward to creating a lot more happening in the community and see us continue to grow. I think you don't need change when you got success.
Thank you.